All right, everybody, welcome back. This is the last session. My name's Tarek. I'm an addict. All right. So believe it or not, I'm going to cover six steps in the next 25 minutes. And then Scott's going to give you his perspective on the same six steps. And so by this point, you've completed the fifth step. Your sponsee has done the hour at home. He's evaluated the first five proposals, and there's not much information in the big book other than an amazing prayer, and it tells you if you're not willing to have the defect removed, pray for the willingness. But there's a concept that I talk about. As long as what you're doing is a defect to you, but on some level you get something out of it, there's a value attached to it, it will not be removed. That's just the reality of it. As long as there's an illusion of value, it will not be removed. It will persist. And so what I do with guys I sponsor, I've been doing this for the past 2 years, is during the fifth step, I made a list of their grosser handicaps. And I instruct them during the hour returning home to review their list as they walk into the sixth step, which is the list and the sitting with these things, asking yourself this question: is this defect of character or negative belief system or self-defeating principle objectionable? Am I sick of living this way? Is it unacceptable to me? And then I tell them to put them on a note card, and I want you to write a seven-step prayer. You can use the one in the big book, or you can write your own. But what you're going to do is you're going to walk. You don't know when you're going to take your seventh step. What I tell them is you're going to be summoned by your Creator to drop to your knees and do a seventh step. And I don't tell them this on the front end, but I guarantee you when they drop to their knees, it'll be when they're being crushed by one of their defects. And that's when I ask them to do the seventh step. And I don't put a time constraint on it. I just tell them, carry around your list of defects and your prayer and just reflect on it from time to time. And when you're summoned by your Creator to take the seventh step, you drop to your knees wherever you're at. If you're in a public place, go somewhere private, drop to your knees, do your seventh step and call me. And then I move into step eight. Now, at this point in the big book, you have to read line by line. This workshop today was set up to get you through those first really 58 pages. 43, at the doctor's opinion and the forwards. We wanted to get you through that process as quickly as possible. But once you get to this page 76, you really got to read line by line from this point on. Because you're gonna get every type of amends possible. The enemy, the ex-spouse, the divorce, the creditors, people, when other people are involved. Those are the basic types of amends you'll see in the chapter, and you need to read about all of that. They also tell you what this is all about, fitting ourselves to be of maximum service to God and our fellows. And so this is how they do an eight-step list. This is the process in the system that makes making amends not such an insurmountable mountain to climb. Okay, but I guarantee you, if you've done the work out of the big book, you stay active, you will take the Master's hand and you will walk up the mountain. But if you don't do the work out of the big book, you won't be able to survive the certain trials and those spots ahead, because that's when you need to take the Master's hand. This is part of learning how to take the Master's hand. This is where you learn how to trust God in making the amends, because you know Scott and I can't go with our sponsees to make the amends. Literally, you're knocking on these doors and you're making these phone calls and you're writing these approach letters. It's just you and God. This is how you begin to trust God. By making these amends. This is how the defects get removed as well, because you get to look in someone's eyes and you get to see what your selfishness and your self-centeredness does to other people. And in that process, the defects are put into remission. And I will almost guarantee you they will come back. That's just been my experience. Remission, they come back. Remission, they come back. Some get cast out. It has not been my experience that all my defects have been cast out. That's just not been my experience. But there's growth and understanding and effectiveness of how to live life in relationship to other people. So here are I'm going to show you the note card system. So you get note cards. You take your list off the piece of paper. Every person gets a note card. And what you put on the note card is the nature of your harms. You don't need to write out very detailed descriptions of what happened. But, you know, I stole $100. I assassinated his character in public. I gossiped about him. You know, I called her a B-I-T-C-H in front of other people. I'd write that down, called her a bitch. Owe $150. Simple, concise. And then at the very bottom of the note card, I'm going to put the word else, question mark, which says, is there anything else that I left out? And then I put feelings, question mark. Do you need to tell me how this makes you feel? And then I put right, question mark. What can I do to make things right between us? That's on the note card. And then in the top right corner of the note card, you're going to put a plus minus system. If you put a plus plus, that means you're willing to make the amends and you know where to find them. If I put plus minus, that means I'm willing to make the amends. I have no idea where this person is. If I put minus plus, that means I'm not willing to make the amends, but I do know where the person is. Minus minus is I'm not willing, and I have no idea how to find this person. And then you're going to have four piles. And you're going to put every pile away except for plus plus. That's all you need to work on. You tell, because when newcomers are attached to those four or five amends they're not willing to make, and they have so much fear attached with those four or five amends, it keeps them blocked from engaging the rest of the amends. And so what I tell them, it's okay if you don't ever become willing to make this amends. I'm okay with that. Because what I want you to do right now is work on plus plus. Because I guarantee you, as you make these, you're going to understand the amends process is nothing like you thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. It is an arduous task. And it's a very humbling task. It's one of the most important steps in growing spiritually, though. It took me over almost 8.5 years to approach 230 people in institutions. And I wrote my last five letters about 6 weeks ago. And it is possible. Have I completed all those amends? Some can't, because the people won't respond to me. My task was to become willing and make the approach. And now all that's left for me is I got to pay back the rest of the money I owe. When I got here, it was about $30,000. I owe about $20,000 now. Okay? And I made a financial amends this week. So I'm in the action of making amends. That means I'm in the action of facing and being rid of the things in myself which block me from God. That's what I believe. So if you use the plus minus system and only have them work on those note cards, I promise you that plus plus stack is going to be the tallest stack most likely. And it'll take them a good chunk of time to do that. And they will gain access. They will deepen their access to the power by making these amends. So just focus on plus plus and let the process evolve. So that's step 9. Now, step 10, and I'm only going to scratch the surface because this is going to be Scott's deal here. I might have covered those three steps pretty quick. So, 10th step is it's not about writing inventory. Bill Wilson in the 12 and step 12 focuses on spot check inventory and annual house cleaning, and then he talks about taking an inventory at the end of your day. And it really confused people because in the big book, it's real specific. It says we've entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Then it lists the spiritual disciplines that Scott's going to go in depth on. So that's an aspect of the 10th step. And then there's the 10th step promise, which there's so much in that that you can practice. This concept around position and neutrality, I think, is ultimately what most of the spiritual path is about, to stop fighting, position and neutrality. Scott's going to go deeper into that. And then vision work is in the 10th step. You know, people, you come to meetings, you ask, how many people in here pray? Every hand. How many people in here pray and meditate? 3/4 of the hands. How many people pray, meditate, and work with vision? Okay. Not even 1/4 of the hands. In the big book, it says, each day is a day we must carry a vision of God's will into all our activities. And then it says to, upon awakening, we think about the 24 hours ahead and we consider our plans for the day. Those are two different exercises. I don't know if Scott's going to differentiate between the two. We'll see. I look at those as two different exercises.
Go ahead.
When you think about the 24 hours ahead, it's about being. What do you want in your being today? Do you want to be trusting of your Creator? Do you want to be grounded in neutrality? Do you want to be an instrument of your Creator's ever-advancing creation and His peace? Are these things in your being that you want to be today? When I consider my plans for the day, these are the tasks or the actions I need to complete for the day. So we sit. You know, I have a group of guys right now in the morning. That's what we do. We consider our plans for the day as an action. But when we think about the 24 hours ahead, it's about our being. And I was around for a while before I picked up on that. It's sort of like they're repeating themselves, but I don't think they are. And so my late grand sponsor and Scott's late sponsor used to say that if you don't meditate, then you don't know God. And that's the consideration that I would put out there. Silence is the sound of God, in my opinion. I know God speaks through people. I get intuitive, but it's not really a voice. It's like an intuition. It's a gut feeling. It's the sixth sense. It's God consciousness. It's awareness. But through meditation, I've learned how to experience the position of neutrality much more than I did when I got here. And meditation has no limit. It has no end. These 12 steps don't have an end. It's a circular deal, okay? Everything we have discussed today is for you to apply this with the people you sponsor and for you to be a more effective sponsor. That's why we do. That's why I go through the steps on an annual basis, because it's much more effective for me to pull out a current unmanageability exercise from being almost 9 years clean and sober than to have I give a guy an unmanageability exercise. He comes to me to review it. And then I tell him about an unmanageable experience I had 9 years ago. It does no good. When a person writes inventory now, I'm writing inventory right now, so I get to take them my current inventory. This is what I'm up against right now. Here's what happened. Here's what I discovered in my fifth step, the last one I did. Here are my defects that are hurting me right now, blocking me from God. Here are the amends I made for my last time through the steps. I did these while I was in a state of consciousness called sobriety. I created this destruction in sobriety. This holds much more depth and weight with a sponsee if you're using current step work. And that's the reason we go through the steps the way we do, is to deepen our experience in this existence. Because all of this, somehow, at the end of the day, makes me interact with you better. There was a time in my recovery where the type of meditation or how many times I was meditating, how long my meditations were, with the type of prayers that I was working with, how many guys I was sponsoring, what meetings, where was I a discussion leader, where was I speaking. All of these things determined, in my mind, what fit spiritual condition was. I don't believe that anymore. Half this room knows me and hears me talk about this all the time, but fit spiritual condition is about my interaction with God's kids. That's it. That's it. And so for me, I know my spiritual condition is off when I've got problems at home and when I've got problems at work. That's the quickest way I can tell I am off the beam. And so my spiritual practices have evolved. I worked with something last year where the only mornings I would pray and meditate is when I felt like I was being drawn to pray and meditate. I was not doing it out of obligation or as if it was another thing to check off the list. And I worked with that for a while. And there'd be like 3-4 days I would pray and meditate. Then I wouldn't pray and meditate for 3-4 days, and I was fine. I was hooked up. I was engaging and interacting with people because I was carrying prayer and meditation into the interactions. Right? One of my meditations I try to do is when somebody's talking to me and I'm looking in your eyes, I say to myself, whatever is peering out from behind your eyes is the same thing that's peering out from behind my eyes looking at you. And that's the spirit. You know, what happens is the ego is in the middle of that, the mind. The mind is there and the mind blocks us from that connection. So I encourage you, practice that for a week. Engage people on that level. I remember when I first met Scott, I would cross my arms like this all the time. And it was like I was closed off all the time. And he said that. I didn't really like it when he said it. It's almost like I was protecting something all the time. So now I either try to put my arms like this or put them behind my back to open myself up to receive and give. These are spiritual practices. And this stuff can never get boring and mechanical and routine if you search. If you look at one sentence in the big book, one of the most powerful sentences in the big book, be quick to see where religious people are right. The next part is make use of what they have to offer. So if I wanted to learn about meditation, I went to a Buddhist monastery. I took the classes and I learned different meditation techniques. And now it's an incredible tool in my spiritual life. Probably the most important, because it allows me to experience one of the greatest gifts in our recovery textbook, which is pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. I wish it happened more often, but it happens a hell of a lot more than it did 9 years ago. And that's the trajectory they're on. And the last thing I want to talk about before I give it over to Scott is... there's this idea going around the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and Cocaine Anonymous that you don't come to meetings and talk about your struggle. I get don't come to your meetings and spill your personal problem so you can get a specific solution for your problem. I'm not a fan of that. This is not group therapy. But it's important for us to share our transparency with one another. And this is where this is what I'm up against right now. But this is the course of action I'm engaging in order to have my Creator move me past here. Because struggle has an immense amount of mercy and grace in it. Without the struggle, I wouldn't be sitting down at the table to go through these steps with God. Without the struggle, my character would not be refined or changed. But it's about the intent. So when I go through struggle, it's not red flag for relapse. Oh, I need to pray and meditate more. I need to go to more meetings. I need to be more accountable. Accountability, yes, but it's about the transparency. Hey, I'm struggling in this way and I'm okay with it. Because I know it's God changing me. So the intent as you walk into the struggle is paramount. Scott talks about intent all the time and talks about vision. And my intent and vision is to have this struggle change me. I know God is the struggle. God is the struggle. And I'm moving through this path because He's changing me. Don P. used to say, God is a sculptor. He's chipping away at me. And maybe one day before I leave this body, what really is Tarek will actually be here. So He's chipping away at me. And He does that through struggle. So when you begin to struggle and you begin to experience the dark night of the soul, where the prayers and the meditations don't produce anything, and you can't do anything to remedy your internal brokenness, you surrender to God and say, I'm okay because You're changing me right now. That's what the struggle is. We don't hide it. We don't sweep it under the rug. We talk about it. We have dialogue about it. We have a discourse about it. We compare notes about how we're being lived through this existence. That's what this spiritual path is about. You must have people in your path that you can compare notes with. This is how God is showing up for me. How's He showing up for you? Because both of us are living in an illusion. Anything pretty much we've said to you today is somehow an illusion. We think we have a good idea of the process, and the reality is, you know, we just believe some stuff and we're sharing it with you. And we found it produced an effective solution for us. So I've really enjoyed this today. I'm grateful that all of you were here. And you can put your email on this sheet and I will send you an audio copy of the workshop. And go God.
That's right. Thank you, Terry. Hey, I'm Scott. I'm a member of Cocaine Anonymous. Scott and Tarek used to like the effect produced by crack cocaine, and now Scott and Tarek like the effect produced by God, right? And that's what we get at. It's got to become more... It's got to be more appealing than the alternative for us to really throw ourselves into this thing, right? And to stay with it year after year after year. You know, the Mark, who Tarek was talking about a minute ago, he said to me a long time ago, he said, Scott, the 10th step is an abyss. Right? There's no bottom. There are no boundaries. And at the time... It was early in our relationship, and I just went, oh, yeah, okay. And I didn't have an experience with that, right? And I would begin to have some experiences with that through practice, right? The 10th step is an up, walking around step. It's a moving around. It's an in-my-life step. It's an interaction with other human beings step. It's a... going to the counter to get a coffee. It's a dealing with my coworkers, with my wife, with my friends, driving in traffic. God, I'm back in Atlanta for a week, man. It's like, wow. I mean, there's some traffic. And, you know, I need a 10th step, right? Why? The 10th step, it's unbelievable, the power of this step. Maybe uncomprehendable. And to be so simply stated in the book, the directions to use for the step. And I think right as I get a guy to this point, I sit with him. I have a big whiteboard, like an 8-foot whiteboard, behind where I take guys through the step. So I write stuff on the board as we go through it. I love whiteboards. gives guys visual anchors, you know, gives them some kind of, just it's powerful. So I'll go, and this is on page 84. Because I want him to understand how to begin his day, how to move through his day, how to close his day, right? Because when I look back onto when these disciplines were given to me and I began to execute them in my life, the results were astonishing. Astonishing, right? When I began to open with a clear-cut direction, walk through the day and attempt to utilize the 10th step instructions and then close with the 11th step, it was just transformational. And I see some heads nodding out there because you know it's right? It's powerful stuff. It's, Tarek said a minute ago, we've entered the world of the Spirit. It's unbelievable. It's just, the language in this book continues to baffle me, right? When I think about guys that the most sobriety at all was Bill with 4 years sober when he's writing this stuff, right? And he says, you know, as we're cleaning up the wreckage of the past, right, we start doing this because we have entered the world of the Spirit, right? Sanity has returned. We haven't been told sanity has been returned yet, so we come out of the second step, we realize how insane we are as we move forward through this work, then we start to make amends, we enter the 10th step, and we're told that we've entered the world of the Spirit, the world of the Creator, our sanity has returned. And here's how we're going to stay, here's how we're going to expand. Some people call it maintenance, I'd like to say it's growth, it's depth, it's big, it's limitless, right? Why? There's some real simple instructions here, intellectually simple. So, it says we vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. This is paragraph 2. We have entered the world of Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. Our next function. What does function mean, Tarek? Do you know?
Purpose.
Our next purpose is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for our lifetime. Remember that. It's important because it is a lifetime's piece of work, right? The abyss, right? There's no place we hit the bottom. There's no ceiling. There's no boundary. It's a lifetime's piece of work. Continue to watch. And there's some very clear directions here. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. What do I have to do to watch? I have to be present, right? When is God? Now. That's right. Now, right? Not 5 minutes ago, not in 21 minutes when we leave the room, because those things don't exist. There's only now, right? The 10th step is here to force me, in the most loving way, to become present to the Spirit. Right? To not live on the spiritual experience of 10 minutes ago or yesterday, but to become present to the Spirit right now, because I've entered the world of the Spirit, which is now. And only now, and always now. So watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Now, it took me years to be able to become present to when these things showed up within me, to be able to see them and not do anything. To be present to selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear without reactively causing any damage. Because as some of you know, I'm an explosive guy. I'm an extrovert type guy when it comes to defect going all over the place. It's not introverted. It's out here. So I would, through selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, or fear, or all of the above, I will cause a bunch of wreckage and never even see that it happened, right? Because I was so disconnected from present moment awareness, so driven by emotion, so out of awareness with what was really happening right here, right now, right? And then at the end of the day, I catch it and go, oh, yeah, I did all that stuff, right? I got to go back and make amends for this and this and this. And the 11th step's there to catch it. We're going to talk about that in a second. And if I can practice watching, I will see it. So I spend a substantial amount of time with a guy, because now we're done with his fifth step, right? He started making ninth step amends. I mean, or he's about to walk out the door and start making ninth step amends. I move quickly at this point too, right? And once that seventh step's done, we're bam, 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 we're moving. And he's in the 10th step, so I can teach him what to do. And then 11th step in the same sitting. And then we go through 12th step, how you're going to go help others right away, right? Like, we're doing it all. And then we'll come back a few weeks later or a week later, and we start going through the practice and principles and all our affairs chapters, right? But I knock all of that out because I know that this guy's about to walk up out of my living room and he's about to walk back into life, right? And all of this, so much of that same stuff is still going to show up for him. The same fears are going to show up, difficulties, inability to relate in certain situations. And what we do, because the mind triggers stuff from the past, old ways of thinking and being, right? We will go into a default reactive mode, just like Carrick talked about earlier. You know, it was 18 months, 20 months before I even begin to make a deviation from my old ways of doing things, right? So, and that's commonplace, I think, for a lot of us. So I didn't have anybody do this for me in the beginning, right? It wasn't the sponsorship I came into, because other people weren't really doing it where I got sober. But then eventually I would find sponsors who would teach me how to do this, and I would begin to practice it in my life, and I begin to experience the presence of God right now. And let me tell you something. When I'm experiencing the presence of God right now, I will not harm you, me, or anybody in any way. I absolutely will cause no harm. Right? I will be present. I will be growing in understanding and effectiveness. So, watch, when these crop up, that tells us they're certainly going to crop up, right? We're not absolved of this. We don't have halos and wings like my man keeps talking about, right? We ask God at once to remove them. God, remove the selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. I love the fear prayer. We haven't talked about it today. God, remove my fear and direct my attention to what you would have me be. Kind of back to what Tarek talked about with how we're going to start our day. Who would you have me be today, God? Who am I going to be? Right? Remove my fear. And you can use that for any of those. Remove my selfishness and turn me into who you would have me be. Right? So that's an applicable prayer to all of these. We probably find fear in all of them anyways. All right. We discuss them with someone immediately. That means pick up the phone and call somebody. Right? This has been a hard thing to do. Right? Something I'm practicing currently. Picking up the phone and building 10-step relationships with guys that I'm close to. That way, as soon as it happens, I pick up the phone and I call them and I talk to them. Or shoot them a text message saying, man, I got a 10-step call. You got a minute to talk? Yeah, I'll be there in 20 minutes. Perfect. Right? I followed a simple direction. Right? That allows me to be accountable. Don't get off on an island to yourself in recovery. Don't get all spiritual and shit and find yourself on an island. Because you will not be accountable to anybody when you're on an island. You're like Tom Cruise out there with Wilson, right? Like Tom Hanks out there with Wilson, right? Like Wilson, like that's your whole thing. I've done it. Got my head in the clouds in the realm of the spirit, right? And removed myself from accountability, right? If I'm not discussing it with somebody, right? My ego will justify the most insane and self-centered of actions within the shortest time span, right? Whether it be around sex, money, and those are the big ones, sex and money, right? Be accountable to somebody. Discuss it with someone quickly. Right? Make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Then resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. So if I need to clean it up, I turn and I clean it up on the spot, right? I clean up on the spot. It's imperative I clean up on the spot. That way I don't carry that pain forward. We'll carry this stuff like bags of bricks, man. Resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. This doesn't just have to be in the rooms. We may be in the office. We don't have an alcoholic to work with, right? Who's a coworker I can help? Who's somebody I can do something for? Do I have a minute to pick up the phone and call somebody in the fellowship? Cool, do it, right? But turn. In the beginning, when I tell a new guy, I always tell him this. I say, do me a favor. Consider turning your body at the turn moment. There's a somatic experience with it, and they begin to associate the turn into the spirit, right? Into the spirit. Away from self into selfless, right? And that was hugely powerful for me in the beginning, right? That somatic. I'm a kinesthetic person. Right, it's meaning I feel a lot, right, and I can When I have a somatic association with something, it's powerful for me. It adds power. So try that with your new guys. It's effective. Okay. But here's the deal with the 10th step. No matter how long we're here, it's always there to be practiced. It's always there as our walking around discipline, right? I look at it like this. The 11th step is the bookends on the day, right? Here's the 11th step on awakening. Here's the 11th step on retiring. Here's the 10th step, right? Here's what's happening in the middle, right? So it's the meat. It's my interaction with everybody else. I love Mark used to say, you know, I get up off the meditation cushion, I'm floating, right? Like I'm floating through the house. I walk out into traffic and, you know, I get into traffic and then all of a sudden I'm shooting you a bird, right? Like it happens, right? Like I'm telling you, it's so easy to be a hermit. It's so easy to be awesome in the 11th step and practice my discipline when I'm by myself in my little space at 7 in the morning, nobody around me. And then I got to walk out and deal with you, right? And I need the 10th step. Because it brings me to the present moment. And when I'm in the present moment, I will not harm you. There's a great spiritual teacher, and I won't say his name. He's not in the fellowship. But he says that all damage is caused to all human beings is caused in the concept of time, right? Because we are in the past or in the future, right? He says, I cannot harm you if I'm present. I will not harm any of God's children if I'm present through my life. The 10th step is a tool that will get us there. And practice. I love what Mark used to always say, discipline is the horse I ride. Practice, practice, practice. You know, he'd call me and we'd talk about something. And I'd say, oh, blah, blah, but I did this and this. And he said, well, this is what you do. And I said, well, how the hell do I get that, man? And he'd say, practice, practice, practice. Click. I can't even quantify how many times he said, practice, practice, practice. Hang out. That was his thing. But that was his deal, right? He modeled it very well. All right. The 10th step promises, Tarek has touched on them, but they're very powerful, and we want to share this with a new guy, right? So you're going to cease fighting anything or anyone, even cocaine and alcohol, even heroin. You're not going to have to fight anymore, right? Sanity will have returned. Then I say, you know what? Remember back, we talked about insanity, then to step one. Step two, look here, look what's happened. All of a sudden, now they're telling you your sanity has returned. But that's directly correlated to being in the world of the spirit, right? We will seldom be interested in crack cocaine and liquor. Tarek talked about not having a day that it doesn't pop up, right? That's not interest, right? Tarek's talking about the position neutrality. Okay, you take a fish that's lived in the ocean all his life and you stick him in a little bitty aquarium, he's going to think about the ocean, right? But he's going to keep swimming over here in the aquarium, right? I mean, it's there. People like us, we glass in hand, we warped our minds. Pipe in mouth, we warped our minds, right? Like we spent a huge portion of our existence on this planet and in this life consuming alcohol and dope. It is not abnormal for us to have thoughts about it sometime, right? I'll drive to a certain part of the city and I'll have a whole experience around remembering copping dope, the whole thing, right? And you know what? My car doesn't turn into a trap. It just keeps going the way it's supposed to go, right? How is that possible? That's the world of the spirit, right? If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. I love my man right here, right out of the gate over here, told me experience about recoiling from something as a hot flame. Right? I remember the first time it happened to me, I was about 2.5 years sober. I reached in a refrigerator. I didn't know there was a bottle of the whiskey I used to drink in the refrigerator. My hand hit the bottle because I reached in quick to grab a Coke. Exploded back. And I went, whoa. And then it hit me. Oh my God, I recoiled. It's from a hot flame, right? Like it really, holy shit, it happened, man. I'm here. I've arrived. Blew me away. I'll tell that story to a new guy. It's a powerful story. This is the whiskey that I drank it every day by the half gallon. And all of a sudden, I recoiled from it as if it were a hot flame. I did not do that. I did not choose that. That was given to me. Right? Okay. We react sanely and normally. We'll find this has happened automatically. It's important to illustrate this. It's happened automatically because we've been changed, right? The psychic change. It has come over us. We did not flip a switch. It happens automatically. We see our new attitude toward liquor has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That's the miracle of it. Here's a miracle. The book tells us a miracle. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we have been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. Position neutrality, safe and protected. We like, when they're talking about it here in the beginning, we're talking about it in relation to our drug or drink of no choice, right? As we grow in understanding and effectiveness, position neutrality will begin to expand into all areas of our life. I can measure my spiritual condition based on my neutrality, right? Trust me, there's election time going on. I can watch all the chaos and the stuff going on both sides and go, wow, that is very interesting stuff happening up there. And I've never seen anything quite like that. And I used to be the guy that threw stuff at the TV, like around this kind of stuff, right? There's a position of neutrality that has occurred in me that I didn't wish. It just has occurred over a long period of time, right, doing this work. These are promises of the 10th step. Very, very powerful promises. Then we go back to alcohol or to dope. We've not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We're neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Right? We keep in fit spiritual condition. We react sanely and normally. We stay in a position of neutrality. We stay safe and protected. We get off the beam for a long enough time. And here's the thing. We never really talked about this, but I want to touch back. I want to kind of circle back to it. It's something we can mention. If we be real alcoholic and or addict, we do not know what the day looks like that we will use dope again. We just don't know, right? So everything will look fine, and then it won't be fine, right? So we have to keep in fit spiritual condition. And Tarek did mention it. He said, I'm not willing to go a week because I may not have a week, right, without doing the disciplines. So it's relative to you. Best practice is keep doing the deal. Keep practicing the practices, right? And that way we stay in the position of neutrality, safe and protected. The 11th step. Upon awakening, Tarek covered it well. I won't dig into it because we're about to run out of time. There's a lot of prayers there in page 86 through 87 about how we retire at night and how we begin our day. I will take a new guy to all of this, right? When he walks up, now, I just took a guy, I took this really sharp kid from, he's a student in CU. We just got him through the work the other day. Out of all of these years, he is the first guy ever to say to me, why did they put retire at night first? The first guy ever to catch it right out of the gate. I went, wow. And I'm not surprised because he's so sharp, right, that he caught it. There's lots of reasons. That's what I tell a new guy. I say, look, retires at night's there because you got to go home. You already started this day, and you got to go home tonight and retire at night. So you're going to begin with this one, right? Then tomorrow you're going to wake up with upon awakening. That's what I tell a new guy, right? And I explain to him what retiring at night looks like. So when you get home, this is what you're going to have to do, right? You constructively review your day because we're going to miss some stuff with the 10th step. We fall asleep. We're not present to our life, right? This is why the authors put this here, because we need to look at our day. We need to constructively is a key word, constructively review our day, looking for selfishness, resentment, dishonesty, and fear, right? Did we cause any harm to anybody? Do we owe any amends? Do we keep any secrets? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were I thinking of you, what I could do for you, or what I could pack into the stream? I like to say capital S, the stream, right? The broad highway, the great reality, what I could pack into the stream of life. It can be pretty telling when you look back at your day and you go, wow, I didn't even think about any of that all day, right? I just thought about me all day long. So this nightly review will allow me and allow a new guy to be able to see the truth about how I behaved that day. And then it says, and then I tell him, because, you know, it's easy for us to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, beat ourselves up. I wish I could have done better. I really stress that. Don't do that. It diminishes your usefulness to others. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, you cannot be certain, you can't be useful to others, right? So remember, it's a constructive review of the day. You're just going to look at where you fell short of what you would have liked to have done. If you caused any harm, you're going to go clean it up. You're going to ask God to shape and mold you to be the man you'd like you to be tomorrow or the woman you'd like to be tomorrow. And then you're going to put it to rest, right? You're going to get in bed, you're going to go to sleep. You know, get up tomorrow, and then you're going to go to On Awakening. You're going to do what Tarek said to do. And there's some real clear prayers. So like I said earlier, anytime I take a new guy through the book, all the prayers, we touch them, right? Highlight them, underline, this is a prayer. If it's a prayer, it's a clear-cut direction of what you need to do. And these are clear-cut prayers, what we do every day. How we open the day, how we close the day. And I have a guy start doing this right away. When you've done this for long enough, it may get stale. You do this for a couple years, it may get stale. Then you have to ask for God, show me something else to do. I love what Tarek, I mean, trust me, that's a spiritually inspired practice, right? What Tarek was talking about, right? I'm going to be moved to prayer and meditation each day. And then I'm going to do it on the days I'm moved. On the days I'm not moved, I'm going to go about my day, right? And use a 10th step in the day. So, but in the beginning, we just want to get a guy in the practice of doing the discipline, or a gal, doing the discipline, doing the discipline, doing the discipline, because they're going to get the astonishing results that surely come by practicing this work, right? This is how we engage in the realm of the Spirit when we open our day, when we operate in our day, which is with other human beings, God's kids, and then how we close the day. The stuff that shows up that typically what we like to do, the stuff that shows up in our nightly review, if there's amends that need to be done, we set out the next day and get them done, right? Make appointments, get them knocked out. Usually they're small, get them knocked out quick. But don't let, I'll tell you from experience, if I don't take care of it very quickly, it gets swept under the rug. And that stuff can fester, right? It's dangerous stuff. So, and as we move into the 12th step, we've just shown a guy what to do, right? We've taken a guy all the way through. He's got some tools now to go take another guy through with the way we've taken him through. I like to, with a guy like this also, if there's a good big book study around me, I want to get him involved in that big book study or that big book group, right? So he's a part of that, going through all the lines in the big book. There's some great CD sets we can give to a new guy and say, here, take these and listen to this whole thing so you get the whole mechanics of the book, right? Because the next time I take him to a piece of work, I'm going to take him through a whole piece of work, right? We're going to really uncover a lot of stuff. But this thing Tarek and I have done today has been about how do we take a guy who needs to get through the work or a gal really quickly through the work, right? So as we get to the 12th step, we're going to tell them, you got to go start sponsoring people. That's a part of the deal. You've done everything you've done up to this point, so you can get some freedom and you can go out and work with others, right? So I'm going to take him over to page 164. And we're going to read from 164. And I'm going to show him the prayer. We ask God in meditation each morning what we can do for the man who is still sick, right? And I'm going to say, that gets incorporated into your morning prayers. I always give that to a guy right out of the gate. And I say, you don't worry about the results. You ask God for that every single morning, and then you leave the results in God's hands. And when they're supposed to come, they will come, right? And then he'll walk away from that. I mean, I'll take him through the chapter working with others line by line, just so that we go through the whole thing. I'll also tell him we don't see as many 12-step calls today. We pick up most of the people we work with in treatment centers and in AA meetings or CA meetings, because that's just the way it is. There's not as many 12-step calls today as there were 20 years ago, 30 years ago. In Denver, where I live, where there used to be a ton of them, there's very few anymore from what I've been told. So I go through the mechanics of working with others with him, and then we set up an appointment to shortly thereafter go through the subsequent four chapters to close out the book so that he understands what practice and principles and all our affairs look like, right? What's it look like at work? What's it look like with our family, right? And what's the vision for you that we're going to carry forward, right? Because these are so important. So I address those quickly. But the truth is, by this point, the guy's got the monkey off his back and he's got some freedom, right? And he's got some power. Ease and powers begin to flow in and out of this guy. And you guys know it because you've seen it happen, right? And he's becoming happy and useful, and a whole new world's opening up to him. So we've done our job once we've gotten to this point, right? You guys have been absolutely amazing. It's been a real blessing to be here with you today. Tarek, thank you for such an amazing job. Thank you all, and God bless.